We're holding on some hay on the day third line. Mishnah said, so we described the procedure of the Ola Sa'os, and we said in particular, what happens is after he does the, what do you call it? After he does the Malika, and the, after he does the Malika, after he does the mystery of the blood, then the next thing we said he does is he, so we said, then he's makir the head on the Mizeah. Then we said afterwards he comes to the goof, he breaks it in half, although not completely. And we said before that he takes out the mura, the cross, and all that digestive tract or whatever we discussed the details yesterday, and throws it onto the Makom HaDashen. The Mishnah had said that if he doesn't, lo heser es hamura chulo, that if he didn't, the korban is still kosher. And then it went on, the Mishnah had mentioned then that afterwards that he divides it in half. The shita of lohivdo, but if he was mavdo, then it's kosher. Implying, in other words, that by the chatos, not as we said in the previous Mishnah, and hivdo pasal. The Gemara points out, machnisin de loy Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah apparently does not go like Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Netanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon, shemaiti shemavdilin b'chatos ha'oy. I have heard that you are allowed to divide it with the chatos ha'oif. You are allowed to, according to Rashi, cut through both simanim, or according to the Rambam, remove the head from the body, and the korban is not possible by doing it. Whereas the Tana of our Mishnah had said that it is possible in that case. So the question is, my benayu, so what is the, what's the underlying point of their machlokes? Usually in the Gemara, by the way, my benayu means what's the practical distinction between their opinions. But over here, the practical distinction is very clear. If you divided it, is it possible or not? So sometimes, in here and in a few other places, the Gemara uses the expression my benayu to mean what's the underlying point of difference between them? What's the underlying point of their machlokes? So Amar Rav Chisda, mitri chatos ha'oif ma'akev ikke benayu. The nafkamina between them is, not the nafkamina, the reason for the machlokas is based on the question, when it comes to a chata sa'oit, is the mystery, the squeezing out of the blood onto the pressing it out onto the wall of the mizeah, is that ma'akev?
So we'd resolve it.
We discussed it briefly before. We've mentioned that it wasn't ma'akev, but then I mentioned yesterday that it's actually not so simple. There's actually a machlokas on it. Here's a machlokas. Here's a machlokas, at least according to Rav Chisda. Tanakama sova mitri chatas is ma'akev. The Tanakama holds that with the chatas you need both things. You need the hazar, where you strip it from a distance, and you need the mitri, where you press the body against the wall of the mizeah. Well, that's what it means that it's ma'akev. But the point is, therefore, kibbid de mitri dam, so since the mitri dam is something that's essential, that without it is ma'akev, then what happens is, if you were to divide the head from the body, in the case of b'chassos, it comes out ka'obed ma'isa oyla b'chassos oyla. It comes out what you've actually done is you've done with a chassos the exact same procedures as are supposed to be done to an oyla. And we're going to learn in the next paragraph that that doesn't work. If you did a chassos oyla following the procedures of an oyla oyla or vice versa, then the korban is possible. Even though you had in mind it was a chatas and you did it in the proper part of the mizeach and so forth, but if you did it to maise oila and it's a chatas, then it's possible. So therefore, in the case of a chatas behema, if you said if you did shalom l'shma, we learned earlier in the Masechta that it's possible. But we're talking about if you were to do a chatas to maise oila. So now the thing is, when it comes to animal korbanos, it's not really relevant to talk about kamaisa erla or kamaisa chatas, because we learned earlier that all you need is one application of blood to the mizeach, and b'dieved the korban is kosher. So if you were to take a chatas and you only did one application the way you do with an erla, that's not called that you did it kamaisa erla. Kamaisa erla implies that there'd be a difference in the shchita, and there's no difference in the shchita of one animal korban versus another. They're all shechted. They're all shechted in the same way. The kabbalah adam is all done in the same way. Okay, some of them need in the sof and some not. Well, that's the thing. In the case of the oif, you have here. So let's consider when it comes to the malika, there's a difference, because when it comes to the malika, you have in the case of a chasa, according to the Tanakhama, you're not supposed to be mavdil. You're not allowed to divide the head from the body or cut through both simonim according to Rashi. Whereas by the oila, you are. There's also a difference in how you apply the blood, whether you do mitzri or whether you do hazar or whether you do mitzri or both. So the Tanakhama therefore takes the view like this. Given that by a chassas you have to do mitzvah, the kivin de mitzvah dam ka'ovid, so the kivin de mitzvah dam ka'ovid, so since he's going to do the mitzvah dam and that's ma'akiv, it comes out, you have ma'isa ola b'chassas ha'os. It comes out, he's done a chassas ha'os following the procedures for an ola ha'os. Because the malika is done the same way, the mitzvah has been done the same way, and therefore, effectively, what you have is the chassas has been done in the way that an ola is done.
In an ola, what do you do?
In an ola, you aren't ma'avir. Lots of points. The Tanakhama says that's why you can't.
Also
the mitzvah. No, but by the ola, you only do mitzvah. By the chassas, you do hazah and mitzvah. Okay, and the Shita Mukhabetz points that out. But he says the fact is though that if you didn't do hazah, if you only did mitzvah. If you only did mystery, it would be the evidently kosher. So therefore, it comes out, what is the salient difference, therefore, between the oila and the chassas is how the militia is done, whether you mavdil or not. Therefore, the Tanakhama says you cannot be mavdil with a chassas, because if you do, then you follow the procedures for an oila.
Everybody agrees. By the
oila,
you don't have to do
hazar. The Torah doesn't say hazar by the oila. So no, there's no hazar by an oila. By the oila, there's only mystery. There's only v'nimsa jamay al tiram zeh. You press it against the... There's only mitzui. So when it comes to a chassas, you have hazah and mitzui. But given that you require the mitzui, then therefore it comes out that you've done with this turban all the procedures that are done with an oila. Okay, you did it on a different part of the mizbeach because the oila is on the top half and the chassas is on the bottom half. But that's not a difference as far as the actual ma'aseh. The actual ma'aseh comes out the same way. No, the actual ma'aseh comes out the same way. So therefore, and therefore you have a problem. So therefore, in other words, so Rashi actually learns effectively that the reason why the Torah insists that you should not be mavdil in the chassas ha'oyf is precisely in order that you don't have that problem. Right. Tosfos has a long discussion. About what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon hold, because we're saying over here that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon suffer mitzvah chassas ha'oyf la ma'akiv. He holds that the mitzvah of the chassas ha'oyf is not ma'akiv. All you need to do is the hazar. Therefore, he holds. So, what's the problem? When it comes to if you're mavdil, therefore, umachatech vato ba'almahu. All that happens is it's considered already. The malika has already been done. At that point, if you end up being mavdil, if you end up cutting through the second siman or cutting all the way through the neck, as the case may be, then it comes out. All you're doing is you're cutting dead meat already. You're not doing anything more than you're not doing any more of the malika. Basically, you have a lot of bit of sin inside. So therefore, there's no problem. Given that mitzvah but chassas ha'os is not ma'akiv, means in other words, therefore, so not necessarily are you going to be doing mitzvah at all. So therefore, you want to divide it. You want to do the malika all the way through the neck and divide the head from the body. Go right ahead and do that, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. You won't do mitzvah afterwards. You divided the head from the body. It's not ma'isa ola because the only part that's necessary for the chassas is to cut through one siman. For chassas. The only thing you have to do is cut through one siman. And once any more than that is just machatech bata ba'alma. It's just like cutting through dead meat, dead flesh. So he doesn't consider it ma'isa ola b'chatech ola. So according to Rav Chista, that's the difference. If you say that mitzvah is ma'akiv, then he has to do mitzvah. Then it comes out that he's done exactly the same procedure for a chassas as should be done for an ola. Therefore, it's possible. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds not necessary to do mitzvah by a chassas anyway. Therefore, you have a distinction as far as that. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether a distinction is made or not during the melissa, because all it is you did the part of the melissa that you're supposed to do, the one simon, and any more than that is machatech basa ba'alma. It's just cutting meat. And it's just cutting meat and it's not considered part of the militia.
Looks like it's the
ola. It's not a question of looking like or not. It's a question of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon hold. The essential militia of a chassas, he said, is lo yavdil. You shouldn't divide them. But if you did end up dividing it, that dividing is just machatech basa ba'alma. You're just cutting through dead meat. And therefore we don't worry about it. And as far as the fact of the mitzvah is not massive. Okay. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a long discussion. You can see here there's a long Tosfos that extends over the rest of this Amud and most of the rest of the next Amud, discussing exactly what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds in this connection, because Tosfos points out there's a Gemara elsewhere in Chulin that you're not supposed to divide them by the chassas either. So what is he saying over here that you could? Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the ins and outs of it. Among other possibilities, Tosfos says that maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, or the Gemara over here, understanding his opinion, is distinguishing between whether did he do the Havdalah before or after the Hazah. If he did it before the Hazah, maybe, yeah, it would possible. But if he did it after the Hazah, then he would say it's just Machat of Basavah. Okay. Fine. That's one answer to understand that's one answer why Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon disagrees with the Chachamim, because he holds that mitzvah by a chatas ha'oiv is not massive. Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says here is a second possibility. Shehiyah b'simen sheni ba'olah sa'oiv ma'asiv ikke b'nayim. The argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon can be on the question, again, when it comes to an olah, you need to cut through both simonim, but what happens if you pause between one simon and another? Now, when it comes to an animal, when an animal is shechted, whether it's a kulin or a kodshim, you have to cut through both pipes. You have to cut through both simonim, the windpipe and the esophagus. And if you cut through one and then delayed, that's called shahiyah, and it's one of the five things that topples, it's one of the five basic things that topples shikha. So the question is over here, does the same thing apply to malika when it comes to the simon sheni, which is required for an ola? Tanakama sava shahiyah
and malika, in other words, has to...
Well, in other words, the malika of the ola has to involve both simonim, because that's what you said. By the ola, you have to be mavdol. You have to cut through both simonim. So if you were to do one and then pause and then do the other one, what would happen? Would it be a kosher malika or not? So therefore, tanakama sava shahiyah the simon sheni ba ola sa'ot loy ma'akir. The tanakama holds that delaying between the first and second simon by an ola sa'ot is not active, meaning it doesn't pass all the carbon. So therefore, the problem would be the afak of the shaye. So therefore, the problem would be that if you cut through the one and then you pause and then you cut through the other one, the problem is carbon maisa ola b'chassas. Again, you have the problem that if this was a chassas, that you did what's supposed to be done to an ola with a chassas. Because again, if with the oil you're supposed to cut through both, and it doesn't matter if even you did one and then paused and then do the other one, well, what are you doing by a chassas over here? You're cutting through one, which is all that's needed for the chassas to be kosher, because by the chassas you only need the one. Then he goes and cuts through the second one. He's doing what you would do by an oil of oil. Therefore, it's possible. But you have to do the way it's done by a chassas. Which is by a chassas, you only cut through one. That's why the Tanakhama says if you cut through both. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It's your own thumbnail. Yeah. You can control it. Yeah. I've never done the liquor myself, but I would imagine. Yeah, indeed. But we're going to talk about soon. We're going to talk about soon, actually, in the Gemara about a bit of a finer degree of control, even than you need that. There's not just one simon versus two simonim. We'll get to it soon. There's a bit of an even finer control you need in that, but we'll get to that soon. Okay. Anyway, the point is the Tanakhama holds that therefore you can't cut through the second simon with a chassas, because if you do, then effectively you've done what you have to be done by an oiler. And that's the problem. That's the Tanakhama we're talking about. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon saw them active, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that shahiyah by an oiler between the first and the second simon is massive, meaning it would passel the korban, just as it would passel by shchita of animals, and therefore the kibin d'shaye. So therefore, he says like this. Again, by a chassas, you only need to cut one simon. Therefore, once you cut that one simon, if afterwards you ended up cutting through the other simon, again, no problem. It's just considered cutting dead flesh, because it's not doing kamaisa ola, because if you were to do that kind of thing with an ola, do one and then pause and then do the other, it would actually be possible. So therefore, he says, go ahead later on and cut through the second one. Again, with the whole long explanation of Tosfos over here, Tosfos wasn't just shelling this on what we said in the first answer of Rechista. He's going and re-explaining the entire sugya over here that it may have to do with the question of is he doing it before or after the Hazar. Where again, if he does it after the Hazar, then you have a Shahiyah in between here. Okay. Fine. So that's the second answer. So far we have Rechista saying that the point of the question is whether Mitzui by a Chassas is massive. So if it is ma'akiv, then it means once he does the mitzvah by a chassas, if he also previously did the malika, like with an ola, through both simonim, then he's done ma'isa ola on a chassas, and that's no good. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds no problem, he doesn't have to do mitzvah by the chassas at all, therefore there's a distinction right there. And according to Rabbi's answer, the question is, if he does the first one and then pauses and then does the second one, would that be kosher by an ola yet? The Tanakhama says yes. Therefore, if you do that by a chatas, you've done maisa ola on a chatas, no good. And Rav Elazar ben Shimon holds it would be possible by an ola anyway. Therefore, no problem to do it by a chatas. You still have a distinction in the maisa between a chatas and an ola. Abaya says here the third answer. Roiv bosom ma'akiv ikabinai. The argument between them can be on the question: is it ma'akiv if you did not cut through most of the flesh in the neck of the animal? So in other words, you know the circumference, you know the diameter, whatever. So in other words, like this, Rashi explains, according to the Tanakhama, before we were saying in Rava's answer, we were saying the question is on Shahir, if he delays between the first and second sin. Now we're going to say that everybody agrees that would possible, that would not be a valid oiler. Therefore, if it was only that issue, you could do that by a chassas. But rather, the difference is over here, the Tanakhama holds that by a chassas, you don't have to cut through most of the flesh, most of the circumference of the neck. You don't have to do that. So if you were to cut through both simonim, then you cut through both simonim, and you didn't go through most of the neck, or it doesn't matter whether you do or not. And again, therefore you have maisa oila. Whereas Rav Elazar ben Shimon would hold that when it comes to the chasas, it's true you only have to cut through one simon, but you do have to also cut through roi bosser of the neck. And if you don't, then it would be possible, he would say. So what happens is, therefore, Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, the order, therefore, is you have to do the first simon, then roiv boser, then the second simon. So therefore, automatically, you have shahia over there. Automatically, between cutting the first and the second simon, by a chassas, you're going to have shahia. Once you have shahia, fine, then it's not maitola anymore, so therefore, you're good. Whereas the Tanakhama, in other words, his point is, therefore, you don't have maitola. Therefore, you haven't done the way things are done with an oila. Therefore, because an oila, you would have to go directly from the first simon to the second simon without roiv boser in between.
Here we're
going roiv boser in between. So the Tanakhama holds that in neither case do you need roiv boser. So therefore, if you did the first simon and you did the second simon,
right,
then it would be then right away it's possible. I'm looking for. I brought along some printout of something illustrating this thing of Roy Bosser versus the two Simonim. Comes from the Sefer Shchitas Cholin. I was pretty sure I had it in my pocket when I came up here, but now I can't find it. I might have fallen out of my pocket someplace. All right, whatever. I'm not gonna worry about it. Okay. So again, when it comes to the oila, you have to cut through the one simon and the second simon without roiv boser in between, says the Tanakhama. Therefore, if you did the same thing by the chassas, then you'd have tamaisa oila. And if you did it, and if you did it first simon boser and then roiv oila, it wouldn't make a difference. And then second simon, it wouldn't make a difference. Either way, it's maisa oila, because it doesn't matter whether you cut through roiv boser or not. Rav Elazar ben Shimon says you have to cut through roiv boser between the first and second simon. Therefore you do that with the chassa. So therefore you don't have maisa oila, because by maisa oila you'd have to cut through to both of them without roiv boser. Okay. And the Gemara points out, these last two opinions about the machloikis between Rav Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim, namely Abaya's explanation about the question whether Shahir delaying between one simon and the next, and Rava's explanation about Rava's explanation about Shahia and Abaya's explanation about Roy Voster, that is actually the same machloikas that Rabzeira did Abzeira with Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. That is the same machloikas that Abzeira and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak have in understanding the machloikas of the Chachamim and Rav Elazar ben Shimon.
The one that's taken by Abaya and Rava?
Yes, the machlokes between Abaya. So Rav Chisda's thing about Mitzri Chassas Ha'olis is out of the picture. No earlier Amiroyim or contemporary Amiroyim or whatever argue Rav Chisda's position. But between Abaya and Rava, we find that Rav Zera and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak have the same argument. Chad Omer Shehiya B'Simin Sheni Va'olos Ha'olis Ma'akta V'Kaganayu. One of them says, as Rava has said, that the question between the argument between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar ben Shimon is regarding whether if you delay between the first and the second simon, where again, according to the Tanakhama, if you delay between them, we would say that if you delay between them, then it's not possible. Therefore, if you do that by a chassas, then you've done ma'aseh. Versus Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon would say that it does possible if you do shahia. Therefore, when it comes to a chassas, you can do it different. You can do it. You can do shahia, whereby an oyla would be possible, and you don't have the same ma'aseh. The chadomer Rav Basma'aseh v'kibinayu, and the other opinion between Rav Zera and Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak says that the question is on Rav Basma. Do you have to cut through most of the flesh, most of the circumference of the neck? So it's the same machlokes between Abaye and Rava in understanding Rav Elazar Rav Shimon versus Chachamim. Rav Zera and Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak have the same argument. Okay. The Gemara says the cloud of inner joy Basma b'chila. So you're telling me then, according to this second explanation, according to Abaye's explanation, the question is whether Roy Basar ma'akiv, implying that l'chatchila you should be cutting Roy Basar after you cut the simen, is that really so? The cloud of the inner Roy Basar b'chila, you're telling me that l'chatchila you should be cutting through most of the Basar to begin with? And only b'dievet if you didn't, then we have the argument whether it's ma'akiv or not. The answer is ain't. Yes, indeed, b'chol tanya, and thus, in fact, we learn the b'raisa. Ketzed mokin chasasoy. How do you do malika by a chasasoy? Chosech shedra umafrekas below rov basar. He cuts through the spinal cord and the spine. Shedra means the spinal cord. Umafrekas and the neck bones. Below rov basar, he does not cut through most of the flesh that surrounds it. The reason is, Rashi mentions over here, and the Rambam also brings, because once you cut through the masrekes and roi basar ima, if that were to happen with a bird or an animal outside of malika, then it would become nevela. You have in general, nevela means that an animal or a bird is dead. But you have a couple of cases in halacha where even though the creature may still be to a certain extent physically alive, it's considered already dead because it's on the verge of dying. If the neck and roi basar ima and most of the neck bones, you know, if the neck and most of the muscles around it are cut through, then the animal or the bird becomes available there right on the spot.
You know a lot to do that.
But therefore, the point is that when it comes to malika, you have to have that. You're doing malika is different than shechita. But nevertheless, you still have to have the bird has to be considered alive at the point when you get to the actual part of the malika. The malika itself, the primary part of malika, involves cutting through the simanim, one or two, as the case may be. Therefore, you have to make sure. Now you're starting from the back of the neck.
But you're supposed to be alive when you reach the simanim and you already section the spinal cord.
That's the point. In other words, you section the spinal cord, but not Roy Basar. But not Roy Basar. Therefore, the bird is still considered alive to that extent. No, because you still have the arteries and the veins, I guess, are still intact, or at least enough of them, whatever. That's how it is. Once you have Makrekes and Roy Basar broken, then the animal or the bird is considered dead, it's considered nevela. Before you reach that point, they're fine. It'll be quadriplegic, let's say. Fine. You cut through the spinal cord, so therefore... Okay, but even a person... No, that doesn't happen instantaneously, though. Whatever, anyway, even if a person can hold their breath for a period of time, right?
Obviously, you have a neck section.
The point isn't that your body can still live off the oxygen that's in your tissues for a couple of minutes. Whatever, the point is... Once that's the thing. Once you have Masrekis and Roy Basar is cut through, then you have a problem. Therefore, he has to make sure he cuts through the Masrekis, the Shedra and Masrekis, but below Roy Basar, without cutting through the majority of the muscles, so that way, I guess, like the blood vessels and whatever are still intact. Ad Shemagil Avesh Olafana, until he reaches either the esophagus or the windpipe. He Gil Avesh Olafana, once he reaches the esophagus or the windpipe, which are towards the front of the neck, then he cut one simen, or the majority of one simen, because in general, by shchita as well as by malika, you don't have to go all the way through a simen. Going through the majority of it is considered like having gone through the whole thing. The roiv basar imoi, along with, then you cut roiv basar together with it, because at that point, you've already cut one simen, and the majority of it, now you can cut through roiv basar without having a problem with it. So the order has to be, you go, so the order has to be.
Once you cut one, that's the point. Once you cut one siman, then at that point, now you go and cut roiv bosser. So we're saying, according to the Tanakhama, we're saying that roiv bosser is not ma'asir. If you only cut through, you cut through from the back. So you cut through the shedra and the mafreka, the spinal cord and the neck bone. And then you also cut through one siman or the majority of it. According to the Tanakhama, that's enough. You don't enough that now the carbon is kosher. Now you can go ahead and do the hazar or mitzvah. Well, and then actually we're talking about a chassis over here, so it's only one siman. In the case of an oiler, you need both of them on him. But in the case of a chassis, that's it. You should do roiv bosser at that point, but you're not obligated to. Whereas we're saying, according to this last explanation, according to Abaye's explanation, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon would say you have to cut through roiv bosser at that point after you've done the one siman for it to be kosher melitzah. Yeah. The Tanakhama, right. But even the Tanakhama agrees with Al-Khila, you have to do that. That's the point. So that's what the Gemara was asking, what makes us say that Al-Khila, you should have to cut through the Roiv Bosser? The answer is, you see from the Sprite, you do Al-Khila have to cut through the Roiv Bosser. You just have to make sure you do it only after the one simon is cut. Otherwise, you have a problem that you've made the burden available before you did the part of the essential melissa, which is cutting through the one simon.
So first, what do? You do the siman?
So again, we said you go from the back. You start with the shedra mafrekis. You make sure that you do not do roiv bosser. Make sure that you don't cut through the majority of the muscles of the neck, because then that would make it nevela. Then you go and cut the one siman, and then you do roiv bosser. Then you press in further over there to get roiv bosser.
Sorry, is it the back neck?
No, it means you take the circumference of the neck basically, and you draw in it, like you figure out like what would be more than half of it. So again, it's a pity I can't find that picture that I printed out, because I really don't know. I brought it in my pocket. I must have slipped out of my pocket at some point. Yeah. I must have slipped out of my pocket at some point. I don't know. All right. Anyway, whatever. That's the idea. It's possible. I may have dropped it when I turned on the air conditioner. I may have dropped it when I turned on the light. Okay. Alright. Anyway, let's get back to it. It's fine. We can manage to visualize it, hopefully. Alright, but that's the idea. In other words, you have to do it in that order. Over Ola Shnaim or Rav Shnaim. In the case of an Ola, before you get to cutting through Rav Bosser, you have to cut through the two simonim or the majority of that. As you said, by an Ola, you have to cut through both. By an Ola, you have to cut through both of them. Okay, so in other words, so the Braisa establishes for us that yes, even according to Tanakhama, Lachachila, even though he says that Roiv Bosser is not ma'akir, Lachachila, you should be cutting through Roiv Bosser after you finish the essential part of the melissa, which is the one or the two simonim. So now we can say that Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon would disagree with that. He would say it's not just Lachachila you should do it, but even B'dievet, if he didn't do Roiv Bosser, then it's not melissa. And therefore, so again, that could be the machlokas between them if you did both simonim by a chaser. Where again, if you did both simonim by a chassid, the way you do it is one simon, then roiv bosser, then the other simon. The Tanakhama would say that there was shihia, that was considered a delay between one simon and the next, and therefore that would cancel it. Whereas Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon would say that no, with a chassid, that is the proper way to do it. With an ola, it's not the proper way to do it, because with an ola, you have to do first both simonim. According to him, the difference is that since by a chassas you only need one siman and then roiv bosser, so then that's at that point you've done ma'isa chassas. The fact that then you do a second siman doesn't matter, ma'chassas bosser. Whereas whereas by an ola you would have to do both simanim and then roiv bosser. So therefore he says that's the distinction. Whereas the Tanakhama doesn't accept that, so he says you don't have to do roiv bosser anyway. Okay, fine. Okay, so now that we have this whole discussion, Amrua Kameja Rabbi Yirmiyah, they told over this whole discussion to Rabbi Yirmiyah, this that was said, these three different understandings that we have of the Tanakhama versus Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, and it comes out according to all of them that the question is, it's not that Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon says that
that you shouldn't be mavgilim, or that you don't need to be mavgilim in the first place by a pachter. He just says, he says, clearly you shouldn't, but yeah, that if you did, then the korban's not kosher. But, Omar, so Rav Yirmiyah said, lo shmiel lehu hadu amr of shimra no yakim, shimra belaza ben yas, shimra belaza ben shamua. Didn't they hear this that Shimon Yakim said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Kadosh, who said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, that Oymer Hoyer Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon used to say as follows, when he says, Shamaitu the Chachas Oif Shemav Yilin, that he has a different version. That what we had at the top of the Almud was, he said, Shamaitu Shemav Yilin the Chachas Oif. I have heard from my Rebbein that if you divide the Chachas Oif, the head from the body, then if you cut through both the money, then you didn't tackle it. Here, that we said at the top of the Amud, implying that it's still even he agrees that you shouldn't, but yeah, but if he did, then it's okay. And then that brought us into this discussion of why he would say it. But no, according to the second version, according to the Shimon Ben Yochanan's version, what he said is, Shamaiti b'chata sa'osh mavzilin. I have heard that by chata sa'osh, you could be mavzilin. In other words, there's nothing wrong with being mavzilin. It's not even a l'chila versus the yevet. It was just, well, everybody agrees, Kasha, that's the whole point of Rabbi Elazar, that's the whole point. In other words, according to the second version, it's not like chili you shouldn't do it, but yeah, but if you did it, okay. Even not chili you could. Oh my, Lord Yavdil, because he says, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says, by a chafa, umolak esroshim, umol osway, v'lo Yavdil, what does v'lo Yavdil mean? It means ain't sorech lahavdil, means he doesn't need to divide it. So again, according to the Tanakhama, lo yavdil means he's not allowed to divide it. And if he does, then it's possible. According to the understanding of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that we had all this time, we said lo yavdil means clearly he shouldn't be dividing it, but yeah, but if he did, it's okay. Now we have a third understanding. Lo yavdil means he doesn't even lachachila. Lachachila, he doesn't need to divide it. But if he divides it, there's no big deal. It doesn't matter. It's not a lachachila versus bidiyev. He can do whatever he wants. Okay. So now, if we're going to say that lo yavdil means that v'lo yavdil, if we're going to say that that means that he doesn't need to, but he could if he wants to, then omelet of acha dre de rov l'ravashi, elame asa gabed bur, by that logic, if you're going to say that, if you're going to say that v'lo yavdil means that he does not need to divide it, no, it's not even a l'chila versus b'dyevet, he does not need to divide it, but if he wants to, he could, then by that logic, what are you going to do, gabed bur, what are you going to do regarding what the prophet says regarding a pit? That if you have a pit in Rishus HaRabim, you see it, so the Pasuk describes, if a person digs a pit in Rishus HaRabim, v'lo yichasenu, and he does not cover it, then if a shur or chamur falls in there, what happens? So if you're going to say v'lo yavdil means he does not need to divide it, it's up to him whether he wants to or not. What are you going to say about v'lo yichasenu? Are you going to say the same logic that means that if you have a pit in Rishus HaRabim, you don't need to cover it? Well, because you have the same grammatical form, loy, veloy, yud, something, veloy, yud, and a verb. Veloy, yavdil, again, according to the Tanakhama, we said veloy, yavdil means he's not allowed to divide, and if he does, it's possible. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, it's veloy, yachasenu, if veloy, yavdil means he doesn't have to divide it. He could divide it if he wants to, but he doesn't have to, then veloy, yachasenu would have to mean the same thing. It would mean that he doesn't have to cover the pit, but if he wants to, he could. And obviously, that's not what it means. Now, Tosfos asked the question, I mean, so why didn't the Gemara, you have many, many lavim, you have hundreds of lavim in the Torah where it says loy something or other, why don't we ask from those? Tosfos says, because obviously by those, it means loy, it means don't do that. What else could it mean? Here, Sakef, you would think like this. What's the whole purpose of
what?
Loy? No, in other words, in most things in the Torah, when it says, for example, loy sasam or loy sosal kol nevela, he used Tosfos' first two examples, obviously it means don't do it. Doesn't mean you don't have to do it. But the reason is, because obviously you can't say the Torah is telling you you don't have to muzzle an ox when it's threshing or you don't have to eat nevela. Obviously, there's no reason to think that you should have to. But over here, the reason why the Gemara is asking over here and why it's asking from Bor is like this. When it comes to Melissa over here, when it comes to a chasa, what's the purpose of the militia? Or not what's the purpose, but whatever. What's the next thing that takes place after the militia? You're supposed to be squeezing out the blood onto the mizbeach. Hazah, and then maybe mitzvah, but whatever. The point is that you would think, therefore you would think you want to be able to get out as much blood as possible. Therefore, logic would dictate that you should divide the head from the body. And therefore, maybe you could say that if the pasuk is telling you lo yavdil, it means you don't need to. Even though you want to try to extract the maximum possible blood, nevertheless, below Yavdil, he doesn't need to do that. He's allowed to keep the head and body together. Similarly, when it comes to the bur, if we didn't have a pasuk that said v'lo yichasenu, the Torah says, plain common sense would tell us that if you let the bur in Rishus Rabim, you have to cover it. So if the pasuk is spelling out v'lo yichasenu, maybe it means you don't have to cover it. That's the distinction, Tosafot says, because whether is it that you needed the Torah to tell you the negative statement, because otherwise you wouldn't have known it at all, or is it something that you could have found by yourself, and now the Torah is telling you, and therefore if the Torah is telling you v'loy yavdol or v'loy yichasenu, maybe it means it's optional. There's a different explanation from one of the Achronim, I think, Karen Ura, who says that the verse is, the reason why the Gemara asks specifically from the bur is because there you have v'loy yud something in the middle of a pasuk. All the other ones, the examples that Tosafot is bringing is loy such and such, loy silva shatnez, loy sachsoim, etc. It's a statement standing by itself. As opposed to v'loy yud whatever, here where it says malach asroshes v'loy yavdil, maybe it means he has to do malach, but he doesn't have to do yavdil. Maybe by the bur.
If it was absolute, it would just say loy yavdil.
But if it says v'loy yavdil as a continuation of a sentence, maybe it means he could if he wants to. He doesn't have to. If he doesn't, yeah. Okay. So you can't say that by a bur. So why? What makes you say it by malicha?
But by a bur, you wouldn't infer it immediately. By a bur, you could infer it automatically.
Tosafot's point was actually, if you didn't have a pasuk telling you, then common sense would dictate that if you have a letter, you left a bur, you have to cover it. In the case of the bur also, in a way, because you would think the whole purpose of the malicha is the next thing is you're going to extract the blood from it, you want to be able to extract as much blood as possible.
Blood comes from the body, not from the head.
That's the point. If you separate the head from the body, you'll be able to get out much more blood, so you'll be able to press the mokum malicha of the body directly against the wall and get out as much blood as possible.
As long as you separate the arteries, that should be enough.
Yeah, but still, like this, you'll have some of the capillaries will still be connected. If you have the head and the body, if you have the head and the body not completely separated, especially according to Rashi, they only cut through one simen, then you may even have some of the veins or some of the arteries still intact, whatever. So if it weren't for that, you would think you have to get, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. The answer is, Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, how are you thinking to compare the case of the bur to the case of the bur? Hosam kivin dechsev bala bur yishalim. Since the next pasuk continues that if an animal falls into the bur, then he has to pay, implying ilovehu deromi lachasuyah. That means that the words v'lo yichasenu are not saying that he doesn't have to cover it. It's saying that the situation is that he didn't cover it, and therefore now he has to pay. It's incumbent on him to cover it. The fact that it says v'lo yichasenu, therefore, cannot mean that it's optional, because if it was optional, there'd be no reason he'd have to pay. But obviously, it must mean v'lo yichasenu means it's telling us a statement of fact that in this particular case, he didn't cover it, where he should have.
Whereas
over here, avo hacha, mechik sibih krivoi, the pasuk says regarding a kapasos, it says the word v'hikrivoi, or actually by the olasos rather, it says the word v'hikrivoi, because it actually says on the second line, but olasos v'hikrivoi,
right.
So by the olasos, it says the word v'hikrivoi, he should be makriv it, which means, that by saying it, means chilek akasu v'en kapasos v'olasos, means that the Torah is telling us that there has to be a distinction between the kapasos and the olasos. Now, Rashi points out earlier, the Greek boy, meaning he should be makruv it as opposed to something else. And the pasuk implies over there that the head and the body are separated over there. So Rashi points out before, in a previous part of the Gemara, back on Samachay, we talked about that we learn that from the fact that the pasuk says it in order, he does malitra, then he burns it. And we learn from that it meant that the Akhtara, it means you burn the head separately, and therefore the Malika has to be that you also separate the head from the body. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon doesn't hold of that liquid. But he says, though, still, the fact that it says the Kriv Boy implies that there's a different way to do the Oila than there is to do the Chasa. So even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agrees that there is that distinction. So once you have that distinction, Lo Yavdil Lomali, so why do you need to specifically say by the Chasa that Lo Yavdil, that he shouldn't or he doesn't have to divide? So if I have though, that says your beloved Rav Shimon means that he doesn't have to divide them. So I mentioned yesterday and a couple of days ago that the Rambam gives us as an example in Sefer HaMitzvot, as an example where we have some sukkim that say loy, meaning don't do such and such, and you have some sukkim that say loy, meaning a negation. Something is not such and such, or you don't have to do such and such. And the Rambam gives this as an example, where the Tanakhama holds that loy, that veloyavdil is a loy seter, like any other loy seter. You are not allowed to divide it, and if you do, it's possible. Whereas the Veloz of Shimon understands it as he doesn't have to divide it. It's a negation rather than a command. And the Rambam says, how do you learn it in one case or another? You learn it from context, the same way, as the Gemara is saying over here, that the Veloz of Shimon learns from context. In the case of the burr, since it says he has to pay, then it means it's obligatory to cover it. So you can't say that the lawyer chasenu means he doesn't have to cover it. Whereas over here, because it says he's krivoy, and therefore we already know that there's a distinction between the chasas and the oila, then you don't need the lawyer, and therefore it must be coming to tell us that you don't have to do it by the chasas, but if you did, then there's no problem.
And therefore, the fact that you can't really help you.
So therefore, the Lord Yavdil therefore means, according to him, that you don't have to. You don't have to. You could do it or you couldn't. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yumi's understanding, or actually Rabbi Shimon ben Oyakim's understanding of Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So according to the other Amiroyim that we discussed before, Rabbi Loz and Samachayim and Beis, Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Shimon agreed that Achachila, you shouldn't be separating them. The Lord Yavdil does mean he shouldn't separate it. He just holds it doesn't possible if you do. Whereas according to this new understanding over here, we're saying, well, Yavda means you could if you want to, you don't have to. Even on rest. Okay. Fine. Then the Mishnah had said, Mitzvah Damaguf. Then the Mishnah had said that if you squeeze, the last thing we said was when it came to the Mitzui, so we said that in the case of an Ola, where the head and the body are separate, and by an Ola you only have Mitzui, remember, there's no Hazar when it comes to an Ola. So we said that Mitzvah Damaguf, we said if you squeeze out, pressed out, that is, the blood from the body of the bird, but not the head, then b'dievid yo yoseh, and the korban is kosher. But if you did from the head and not from the body, then it's possible. Turn it on, Baron. So we learn in a braisa. How do we know this concept? The pasuk says, oila, the pasuk finishes off, after it describes the procedure for the oila tov, it finishes off, oila hi, it finishes off with the, by describing it again as an oila. So it means apophysia mitzvah damagufal and mitzvah damarosh. So that's coming, that's a dribui. That teaches us even if you only squeezed out the blood from the body and not from the head, nevertheless, it's still an oil. What do you mean, how can you squeeze it from the head? You have the head and the body are two separate pieces now because by an oil you separate it. You could. It's a bird. It's got a skull, fine, but it's also got skin, and it's also got skin around the skull, whatever. There is to a certain extent you can squeeze it and get blood out of it. But so the fact that the pasuk describes it as an ola implies that even if you didn't do everything you were supposed to, you left out squeezing out from the head, you only squeezed out from the body, nevertheless, the b'yavad is still kosher. That's the point of the word ola, that in other words, adding, even in that case, it's an ola. After when it finishes, the ola starts, the pasuk says, ola hu ishe reach mekoyach lashem. So that teaches us that, yeah, okay. Yachol mitzvah damarosh v'le mitzvah damaguf. So you would think maybe the same is true the other way around. If you only squeezed out from the head and not from the body, maybe it should be kosher. No, tamblema hu. No, because the pasuk says oila hu. So on the one hand, the word oila is a ribu, meaning regardless of the oila. On the other hand, the word hu is a mute, meaning only in a certain way. So therefore, so we have a ribu versus a mute. So it means in one case kosher, in one case it's possible. So the question is, my tamboga, well, what exactly is the, what is it? That's the question. What tells us that the ribui is teaching us about when you squeeze from the body, and the mute is telling you when you squeeze from the head, maybe the other way around?
Right.
Ravina says it's more logical to say that the one that's kosher b'dievid is the one where you squeeze out from the body, because that contains the majority of the blood of the bird. So therefore, if the Torah is telling you that you squeeze from only one and not the other, but yeah, but it's kosher, it has to be the one that has the majority of the blood, which would be the body. Okay. Hadron alach kosher. And that's Allah. Okay. All right. So now this parak, we're going to disconnect this new parak. Now we're going to be the seventh parak. We're going to continue talking about the about bird korbanos, about the oilos ha'oif and the chasas ha'oif, but now we're going to be focusing mostly on cases where one or another of them became possible somehow. After it's possible. Well, there can be various things where it became possible. No, the various things where it became possible during the avodah. Again, as usual, a korban can't become possible once the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. I mean, it can become noisome, but we're not talking about that. That's fairly obvious. But we're talking about tzulin that happened during the avodah. Yeah. In a way, also, so you have a mesechta at the end of Seder Kodshim. You have a mesechta called Pin. And again, it's one of those mesechtas that has only Mishnayos, no Gemara. But again, for some reason, it was included in it's printed in Shastin, paginated continuously with mesechtas that have Gemara. It's printed in standard editions of the Gemara. It's printed immediately after Me'ilah, continuing the page numbering of it. And therefore, when they set up the Daf Yomi cycle, then they included Kinim as well, even though it doesn't have Gemara. It actually is a fairly complicated mesechta, so we'll be getting to it in a year and a half. That's Hashem. It's short. It's only three prokim, and in terms of the way it's printed in Daf Yomi, it runs to about 3.5 watts. But it packs a punch, and most of it talks about cases where you have korbanos of birds that became fossil in one way or another, or that got mixed up. You have all kinds of different scenarios. You have cases where birds got mixed up with each other, and you don't know which is the chatas and which is the oila. And then you have cases where, in particular, the last Mishnah of Kinim talks about cases where an oila was done in the way of a chasas on the wrong, or a chasas in the way of an oila, meaning on the wrong half of the mizbeach, where then it becomes possible and has to be substituted for. So we're going to see, we're going to go through our perek over here, we're going to have some parts of our perek are kind of in the nature of Gemara on Kinim, seeing as how it doesn't have Gemara over time.
The chasas, as we said, has to be on what? On which corner?
We said that the chatas ha'oif is on the bottom half of the mizbeach.
The bottom, yeah.
Yeah.
It can be on either corner?
It can be the pashtus on any corner, yeah.
On any corner?
I think we said it can be on any
southern
corner.
Southern part.
Well, it's on the, no, it doesn't have to be on, no, because there's nothing from the chatas ha'oif. There's nothing from the chatas ha'oif that goes onto the mizbeach before, or that goes into the Beit Hadesh. All you do is you put the blood on the mizbeach on the kohen and then the kohen meets
the
rest.
After that, you go straight to the
Beit Hadesh. No, after that goes to the kohen.
The
chatas ha'oif, yeah.
Right.
And the olah ha'oif is done on the top half by the southeastern corner, ideally, and if not, from the southwestern corner. Okay. So the Mishnah starts it. If you did the avodah of a chasas ha'oif, you did it on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and you did it according to the procedures of a chasas, l'shem chasas, having in mind that it's a chasas, k'shera, then it's kosher. Now that seems fairly obvious. And Tosfos says that it's only meant as an introduction to the rest of the Mishnah, which is going to discuss various other possible scenarios. On the other hand, though, actually it's interesting. The Rambam mentions in Pirush HaMishnayos that it means even if you did something different as far as the Melusa. Which means, so now what does that mean? The Bar Shemura understands the Rambam to mean, therefore, that it means that our Mishnah, therefore, would have to be going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. We just said before that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds that if you cut through both Sumanim and divided the head from the body by a chatas ha'oif, like kosher, our Mishnah would have to be going according to that. As opposed to the Tanakhama would say that it's possible. So therefore, when he says, right, and so therefore, so the Rambam seems to understand that K'mai Se Chasas, Hashem Chasas, means even if you cut through both Siman. That's how the Bar Tanura understands the Rambam anyway. The Malachas Shloima actually has a long discussion about it, and he says that no, that's not what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means is, if you changed something with the Melissa, meaning you held the bird differently than the way you said in the previous text. You described in the previous text how the Kohen holds the wings between one pair of fingers and the legs between another pair, etc. Nothing, so in other words, the Rambam writes, in Yad HaChazaka, that if you held it any other way, as long as you did the Melissa properly in the culture, it never explicitly said in Or Gemara anything like that. So the Malachas Shloima understands that that's what the Mishnah here means. The Mishnah is not according to the laws of Rav Shimon. The Mishnah is according to the Chachamim. If you did the Malika differently, it would be possible. But if you held the bird differently from the Malika, that is where the Rambam is getting the idea from that it would still be kosher. So it's saying over here that you did it K'maisei Chasas, L'shem Chasas, meaning you may have held it differently, but the Malika itself was done properly and the Hazar was done properly and so forth.
Well, I did. If you did the Malika, it could be like Chasas.
No, obviously he did the Malacha like a Chassid, but again, the Malacha Shlomo understands that the Rambam is saying that the Rambam understands the Rambam to be understanding our Mishnah, that all it means when he did Kamaise Chassid, the Shem Chassid, meaning even though he did a Shinui, the Shinui is not in the Malacha itself, but rather in how he held the bird for him. Whereas again, the Tosfos says none of that. Tosfos says that's just mentioning this case as an introduction to the following thing. K'maisei chatos l'shem oila. What happens if he did the chatos according to the procedures for a chatos, so only one simon, etc. But he did it having in mind it's an oila, or k'maisei oila l'shem chatos. So he followed the procedures for an oila having in mind that it's a chatos, or k'maisei oila l'shem oila, or he did the procedures for an Ola and had in mind that it's an Ola, when really it's a Chassos. In all those cases, Sola, in all those cases, it is possible.
And why would we...
Well, that's the point. In other words, it's not just a question that it has to be done with Shema, it also has to be done with the proper procedures. Again, that's a big difference than it is with animal korbanos, where we said, especially, you know, Tosfos mentions over here that actually, we had a machlokes earlier in the Sefta, where Shmuel held that with animal korbanos, even if the blood went to the wrong part of the mizbeach, the bead of the korban is kosher, because you can't eat it. So therefore, I mean, well, so actually, so, well, so here, if you did it k'maisei oila, or having in mind that it's an oila, then it's completely possible, but that's the point. In other words, there's no maisei chatos versus maisei oila when it comes to animals, only when it comes to the zrika, not when it comes to the shchita or the kabbalah or the halacha. Obviously, it's possible then, right. But the main point is, we're saying over here, even if you did it with Shem Chassas, but it was Kamaisei Ola, then it's still possible. So by a bird, you have an extra factor, that it can't just be that you have in mind the proper carbon, it also has to be that you do it according to the proper procedure. By animals, the Shchita, the Kabbalah, the Halacha is all the same for every carbon, yeah. Asa L'mayla Kamaisei Kulon Stola. And furthermore, when it comes to a chatas, where again a chatas is supposed to be, the blood is supposed to go on the bottom half of the mizeach. So if you did it on the top half of the mizeach, regardless what kind of maisa you did, whether you did maisa oila or maisa chatas, whether you had in mind oila or chatas, also psula. Now, Tosfos says over here that actually, again, according to Shmuel at least, what it would mean is that it's kosher in the sense that you can't eat it, because the chatas is normally eaten by the kohenim, but it is kosher. The owner was yotze his obligation. Rav. We had over there Shmuel versus Rav Yechanan versus Rav Shlokish, but Shittim Kubetis disagrees with that premise of Tosfos and says that no, when we said over there that according to Shmuel, if the blood was placed on the wrong part of the mizeach, the end of the korban kosher, that applies only to animal korbanos. It does not apply to bird korbanos. He says. If a bird carbon, if blood went onto the wrong part of the mizeach, it would be out awful. Not just that the carbon can't eat it, but that the owner wasn't even yotze and has to bring another carbon. And in fact, completely possible. And in fact, the Poshim point out again when we in the Sefer Kinyan we have such cases where the blood of a chatas is placed in the wrong part of the mizeach, and the implication the Mishnayah seems to be over there that you have to bring another one, which would fit better according to the Shittim Kabbalah, because it would be hard to understand according to the person. All right. Okay. Next, now let's turn to an oila sa'oif. If we did it on the top half of the mizeach, to maisa ola, the way that an ola is supposed to be done, cutting through both the money, l'shem ola, having in mind that it's an ola, shader, then it's kosher. Again, Tosfos would say that this is just an introduction to the following cases. The Rambam would say even if you did a shinui, which again doesn't mean a shinui that you only cut, no, okay, so here it couldn't mean a shinui that you cut through only one simon, because by an ola, so you definitely have to cut through both. So the shinui over here could be, again, this is like the Malacha Shlomo says about how you held it, for example. On the other hand, if you followed the procedure for an ola, but had in mind that it's a chatas, shera, then it's kosher just like any ola that's done for the shema, or vavad shalei also labala, but it doesn't count for the owner's kohen, and you have to bring another one. K'maisei chatas l'shem ola, but if he did following the procedures of a chatas, so only one simon. Actually, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what k'maisei chatas means. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what he did differently, but that we'll get to. That gets into the question also whether mystery is massive or not, so we'll be revisiting that issue again. So if he did it k'maisei chatas l'shem ola, he did it according to the procedures of a chatas, but having in mind that's an ola, or k'maisei chatas l'shem chatas, or according to the procedures of a chatas and having in mind that's a chatas, stola, then it's completely possible. And a sola masa k'maisei kulam. And if he did it on the bottom half of the mizeach, where again, oila sa'oif is supposed to be on the top half of the mizeach, and he did it k'maisei kulam, according to any of these procedures, sola, then it's also completely possible.
The
Ola has to be on the bottom. On the top. No. So we said at the end, we said in the previous set, if we had a machlokes, where the chachamim held that it had, that you stand on the soyver, that you stand on the soyver, three yamas below the top of the mezeach, and according to the Nechemia and according to the Nechemia and the beloved Ben Yaakov, we did it actually at the top of the mezeach.
Literally on the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
Chaim
said you can put it on the wall.
The Chaim said you put it on the wall. You can do it. They said you can even reach down below the soil and do it up to an amma below where you're standing, because that's still above the chutzah sitter. Yeah. All right. So the The question is, when we say in the Mishnah that you had the situation where you had an oila sa'os and mistakenly you followed the procedures for a chatzah. So the question is, Shani the mind. In what way did he follow the procedures of a chatas? In what way did he make it different than the normal procedures for an oila? You learned the shani the melissa. Are you going to say that he did the difference with melissa? That instead of doing that, he cut all the way through. And we're saying that if he did that by a chatas, then it would be possible. Name of the like of Elazar ben Shimon. Should we say then that our Mishnah is not like Elazar ben Shimon? We just said at the end of the previous setup that he said that you could either be Eber or Hachila, as the case may be Mavdo b'chatas. So if you were to say that the case is that he did a chatas. Sorry, I said it wrong at the beginning. If the case is that we're talking about, he did a chatas k'maisa ola, having in mind that it's a chatas. So he did everything correct except that he did it according to Maisa Ola. We're saying it's possible. If you mean that he did the Melissa like an Ola, according to the laws of the Shimon, it would be kosher. Okay, so the Gemara answers that. So what's the problem? The lawyer opinion of the lawyer of the laws of the Shimon. So what's the problem? Didn't we say that the Sam Mishnah in the previous Perek was not like the laws of the Shimon, and therefore we can assume that our Mishnah is a continuation of that, and therefore also is not like the laws of the Shimon? What's your problem if the submission doesn't go like the laws of the Shimon? When we said in the Mishnah, that if he was mavdil with the chatas, he cut through both the money, or he did not, it was not mavdil by an ola, that's possible. We said that's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, because Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say that he could be mavdil by a chatas. So once we establish that one is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, it's not a big deal to say that our Mishnah is not like him either.
That's what
we say. Right. So it's no problem if we say. Okay. The Gemara says loy. Still though, the answer is you don't have to say that. You could make our Mishnah work according to the laws of Shimon as well, because in general, we would like to have the Sam Mishnah agree to point out. So how can we make our Mishnah work according to the laws? Because the Shani Bahazah. Because Mishnah can be talking about, not where we've made a change in the Melissa. If he made a change in the Melissa, if he did the Melissa of a chakas like an oiva boat to mine, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say it's kosher. The Shinui of our Mishnah, when we're saying that it was a chakas, and he did it with shame chakas, but he did to Maisa Ola, would mean that he did the sprinkling like you do with an oiva. He did mystery rather than hazah. And therefore, if he only did mystery, that's the way you do the avodah of an oiva, so that would be considered that he did the avodah of an oiva by a chakas. The Gemara says hockey now, and that would work even if Elazar ben Shimon would use that spot.
Because
he says by Melissa it's one thing, v'lo yavdil, if you mavdil it's not possible, but not by mystery, right? Okay.
By mystery it has to be done.
By a chassas, no, the point is by a chassas, you have to do hazar. The pasuk says, if he's gami gami akhtir and zeh, v'ani shaba gami mavdil. So hazar means scoring for distance. Hazar means scoring from a distance.
Okay.
Yeah. So if he didn't do the hazar, if he only did mystery, then he did the avodah of an oila by a chatas. No good. Okay, the Gemara says, "Hachi nami mistabra." In fact, it's logical to say that when the Mishnah is talking about changes in the procedure of a korban, it's referring to changes in the procedure of applying the blood to the mizbeach, not changes in the procedure of melidah. Mikatani sefer, because let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. When it says the other way around, when it continues, Asala Maila Kamaisikulan, when it comes to the Ola, it says over there, when it comes still with the Chatas, if you did the Chatas on the top half of the Mizrach, Kamaisikulan, according to any of the procedures, whether you follow the procedure of a Chatas or an Ola, Sola, implying that you look Kamaisikulan, the Shem Chatas. Now when we say Kamaisikulan, means even if you followed the procedures of a Chatas, but he did it on the top half of the Mizrach, instead of the bottom half, and even though he also had in mind, that's a Chatas. So again, the shani b'mai. So again, you would have to ask over there, what do you mean that he changed? When you say he did it l'mayla, what did he do l'mayla that he shouldn't have done? Elam of the shani b'malika, are you going to say that what he changed is he did the malika on the top half of the mizrach? What's the problem? We said in the previous parak that malika can be done anywhere on the mizrach. The malika itself is true, the application of the blood of the chatas has to be on the bottom half of the mizrach, but the malika can be done anywhere. So obviously when it says that he did asal l'mayla, it cannot mean that he did the malika l'mayla, because that wouldn't make it possible. Obviously it must mean that he did the hazah on the top half of the mizrach instead of the bottom. Given therefore that Sefer obviously is talking about we changed the place of Bahazah, then we have to say that in the first part when it talks about we did the different procedure, means also a different procedure as far as the application of the blood, that he did mitzvah instead of Hazah, not that he did a different kind of melissa. Necessarily has to be talking about Hazah, because melissa wouldn't be an issue where he does it. Then therefore the Reisha must also be talking about Hazah.
Why don't we say just plainly it has to be Hazah because
Melissa
wouldn't
count?
You can do it anyway.
The point is that we're saying that you have two different cases in the Mishnah. You have one where he did a different procedure and one where he did it in a different place.
Right.
The different place, we're saying, does not possible because Melissa can be done anywhere.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what is the different procedure. If we say the different procedure is you did a different kind of Melissa, then the Mishnah can't work according to the Balaz of Rav Shimon, because the Balaz of Rav Shimon would say it doesn't matter by a Chatas which kind of Melissa you did. Hiv Jo B'Chatas Kosher, he would say. Therefore,
when you say which kind of melissa,
meaning one simon or two, meaning one simon or two. So therefore, if we say therefore that, so therefore, in order to make the mission of work according to the laws of Rav Shimon, we would have to say that it's talking about hazah, and we can prove that because in the sefer necessarily it's talking about hazah, because there it can't be talking about melissa because melissa could be done anywhere. Okay, the Gemara says media. What kind of a proof is that? Hakidisa. You can say each case, each part of the Mishnah is talking about its own. It's talking about its own scenario. One's talking about the sefer must necessarily, but has other ratio to be talking about melissa. Yeah. So you could say that you could
still work by Shimon.
No, if we said that the sefer the ratio is talking about melissa, then it wouldn't work according to the laws of Rav Shimon. Fine, but in other words, you don't have to be doichet to make the Mishnah work according to the laws of Rav Shimon. And say that the case where he did it differently refers to Hazar versus mystery, you could say that it means that he did the Malika differently. Again, as I said before, the Rambam in Pirush and Mishnayot, on the face of it, explains on Mishnah as saying that he did something different with the Malika, and Bartanura understands that it means that the Rambam did accept, therefore, that on Mishnah can be according to the laws of the Shimon, and therefore that the Shinri is referring to the Hazar, and the Malacha Shleiman disagrees with that and says that no, what the Rambam means is that the Mishnah is according to the Chacham, and then it means not that he changed the actual Malika itself, but that he changed the way he holds the bird for Malika. Okay. Fine. Then the Mishnah continued. Oila sa'oif kula. Then we had the opposite case. You had the case of an oila sa'oif, where we said that, again, if he follows the procedure of a chatas when it comes to an oila sa'oif, then it's possible. So again, we have to ask the shani b'mai. What did he do differently by this oila sa'oif that we're saying it's possible? Elam of the shani the melissa, are you going to say that what he did is, again, he did the melissa differently than he was supposed to? And by the ola, definitely, you have to have, everybody agrees that by the ola, you have to cut through both simonim, and according to the Rambam, remove the head from the body, and if you didn't, then it's possible. So are you going to say that it means that he did the melissa, that he did only one simon? Well, that could work, except midikatani sefer, but we continue in the sefer, meaning in the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah continues, Kulan en Matamin Rebeit Abliya, that all these cases of our Mishnah, all the various cases where we said where the korban is possible, so the next Mishnah continues, that in Matamin Rebeit Abliya, none of those possible ones are Matame a person when he swallows them. We mentioned briefly earlier in the Sechta the idea that when a, when it, the nevela of an oif tohar has a unique din that doesn't apply to any other kind of tumah, that the moment the person swallows it, he becomes tumah. As opposed to most other kinds of tumah, the person becomes tumah by touching them, by carrying them. Just touching a nevela, nivas oif tohar is not enough to make, him tumah. Nivas oif tumah, it depends whether you had in mind that food or not, that it has too much open. It's not an intrinsic tumah. It doesn't become an ava tumah. It becomes a vlada tumah, maybe like the other food. But here, the nevela of an oif tohar has a unique din that it is an ava tumah, but it only is metame a person only when he swallows it. And at that point, anything he's touching at that time also becomes tumah. Right? So therefore, in this case, usually it's his clothes. So therefore, the pasuk says that he has to put his clothes in the mikveh as well. But the next Mishnah says that all of these cases, even all the cases of our Mishnah, like for example, again, the Chatas, where you followed the procedure of the Oyla, or where you did it L'shem Oyla, or you did it on the wrong half of the Mizeach, etc., even though the korban itself is possible, nevertheless, the Malika is enough to make it that now it's not considered a Nevela anymore. And therefore, the Mishnah says, in the time of the Beit Abiyah, that they're not Metame a person when he swallows them, they're not considered a Nivlas Oysar. As opposed to if the malika had been done, if the malika itself had been possible, then it would be a nivlas oif tohar.
The only case when it's metame is when the malika is possible.
No, the only case the case is metame is when it's a nevela. So if the malika was not done properly, then it's nevela. If the malika was done, if you didn't cut through the simonim properly, or if you cut through the loy process. But in other words, not anything else outside of that, such as the question of one simon versus two, or such as the top half of the mizbeach or the bottom, or the shmoy or shaloy the shmoy or whatever. So that the fact that it had melika is enough to save it from being nivlas oif tohar, and therefore it's not the tamei person who eats it. Right, because the melika itself is kosher. Right. And umoyelin.
Melika is not kosher. That's the case when
right. Well, when the malika is not kosher, or any other case where it became a nevela. And the Mishnah continues. The next Mishnah continues that also meila still applies to these korbanos because meila the din of meila would go away from them only once they became a kosher korban. Few of these never became a kosher korban because they became possible during the avoda of it, and therefore meila still applies. Now, returning to our Gemara over here, therefore, when a person is maktish, an animal or a bird or whatever, then Me'ilah applies to it, right? In the case of a chatas, or in the case of any korban that's eaten, eventually Me'ilah goes away from it. Namely, eventually there comes a point when it's able to be eaten, and then therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply to it anymore. So, in the case of a chatas, if it had been done in a kosher way, if it had been done according to the dinim, then once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, the meila doesn't apply to it anymore, because now the kohenim can eat it. But because these korbanos of our Mishnah became kosher in one way or another, therefore meila still applies to them. They never had a shakat kosher. They never had a period of time when they were a kosher korban.
Contrary to this, meila applies when kosher.
Me'ilah applies from when the korban is dedicated until it comes to the point where it's mutter to eat.
Right. Assuming that during all that time, it has to be kosher. If it's not kosher.
That's the point. So therefore, in other words, with this chatasa'oif, for example, somebody designated this bird for a chatasa'oif. At that point, me'ilah would apply to it from when he designated it. Until a proper malika is done, l'shma, and so forth, and until a proper hazah, and then until a proper hazah is done on the mizbeach, and the proper part of the mizbeach, at that point, now me'ilah goes away from it, because now the kohenim are going to eat it.
Exactly. Right. So
if it became kosher, me'ilah applied throughout until the avoda is done properly. Here in our Mishnah, where the avoda was not done properly because it was a problem of the shema, or the wrong half of the mizbeach, or the zrika, or not the zrika, the hazah, or what have you, therefore me'ilah continues to apply to it. Me'ilah doesn't go away from it. That's the point. But if you're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about by an olas ha'oif, where he did something different by the malika, where he didn't divide the head from the body, well, then name of the loker of Yeshua. Then you would have to say that our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Yeshua. And in general, we would like our Mishnah to go like Rabbi Yeshua because our Lacha is like him. To eat Rabbi Yeshua, ha'amar ein ma'alin, because Rabbi Yeshua would say, Rabbi Yeshua says in the next Mishnah, you have an argument between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. and you have the case over there of an Ola Sa'uf that was done Lamata to Maite Chassus or Shem Chassus, where the Yeshua says Mi'ilah doesn't apply to it. So if you're going to tell me in our Mishnah that the Malika, that when we're talking about an Ola Sa'uf, that he did a Malika like a Chassus, and then the next Mishnah says, a Merlin Behem, then that would contradict Rabbi Yeshua. That would mean our Mishnah goes like a Eliezer. We don't want to do that, because Allah is not like him. The El of the Mitzri, so you're going to say that the case of our Mishnah is that when it comes to an Ola Sa'uf, he did the Mitzri, he did the Hazar, and he did the Hazar, like you do a chassus, rather than just doing mitzvah like you're supposed to with an oila. Well, ema sefer, okay, but then continue, look at the next Mishnah again. Oila sa'ov shasar lamata chamaite chassus hashem chassus. And then the next Mishnah that describes the case, we have an oila sa'ov that was done on the bottom half of the mezeach, according to the procedures of a chassus, having in mind that it was a chassus. We say, Rabbi Eliezer ome moilin bo, Rabbi Yeshua ome ein moilin bo. We say that Rabbi Eliezer says that me'ilah applies to it. And Rabbi Yeshua says that it does not. So again, we have to ask Shani the Mai. So in that case, in the next Mishnah, what's the case? What did he do differently? Are you going to say that he did Mitzui differently? Amar de Amar Rabbi Yeshua, the Shani the Malika. We only find Rabbi Yeshua arguing with Rabbi Eliezer where there was a difference as far as Malika. In the Gemara, we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow the explanation of what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing on, but we say over there that what Rabbi Yeshua says is that if it was done lamata and it was done to maise chatos and l'shem chatos, so everything was done like a chatos, although it was originally designated as an ola, what happens effectively is it becomes a chatos ois, basically, Rabbi Yeshua said.
Even if you had in mind...
Originally it was supposed to be an ola, but he did it having in mind it's a chatos, having in mind that it's a chassus and lamasa and kamaite chassus, so then he says basically it becomes a chassus.
If you have in mind that it's a merilah,
no, then Rabbi Yeshua says no, right? But the point is, in other words, that the point is that the Gemara explains later that Rabbi Yeshua argues with Rabbi Eliezer only where there's a difference in melissa, not where there's a difference in mitzvah versus hazar. So therefore, you can't say that our Mishnah is. So going back to our Mishnah, when we say we have the case over here where you did an Ola Sa'ot that was done to Maisei Chassas, what exactly was the Maisei Chassas? Was it the Melissa? And was it the Melissa? The problem is that our Mishnah would work only according to Rabbi Eliezer. That Moil in there. Are you going to say that he did a difference with Mitzli? We don't find that Rabbi Yeshua argues on that. Amar de Amar Rabbi Yeshua de Shani be Melissa. We only find Rabbi Yeshua arguing with Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to doing Melissa differently. The Mitzri Niyama, he doesn't say regarding Mitzri. The Ella be Melissa. So okay, then do we have to go back to saying that our Mishnah is talking about that he did Melissa differently? Well, then the problem is Reisha the Sefer be Melissa or Matthias be Mitzri. So what are you saying over here? You're going to say then that you're going to say the first part of our Mishnah we said before is talking about we made a difference in Melissa, because we said that the Mishnah doesn't go like the laws of Reb Shimon, and he did a difference in Melissa. Then you're going to say the second part, the last part of our Mishnah, is talking about he did a difference with Mitzri in order to make it work like Rabbi Yeshua. And then you're going to go back to the next Mishnah is going to continue again about a difference in Melissa. It's odd to do that. The answer is yes. We have to do that. We have no choice. They should have saved the Malika or Matthias of the Mitzvah. So therefore, in our Mishnah, when it said that Oila Sa'os, that he did it, that Oila Sa'os, that he did to Maise Chassos, that he did to Maise, like any of them, whatever, to Maise Oila or to Maise Chassos, means that he did the Mitzvah differently than he was supposed to. Instead of doing only Mitzvah, like he's supposed to do for an Oila, he did Hazar. Like you do for a chassus. And therefore we're saying that Rabbi Yeshua would agree that Mi'ilah still applies to it because the avodah of it wasn't done properly. Because the avodah instead he did hazar, and therefore that wasn't enough to make it into a chassus. To make it into a chassus, you would need that the melukah and you would need that it was done l'shem chassus and to ma'aseh chassus and the bottom half. Ma'aseh chassus is one thing. But l'shem chassus, and on the bottom half of the mezeach where a chassus is supposed to be done, only then does it become a chassus. Not if you don't have all those factors. So therefore, when our Mishnah says that it's possible, but still Me'ilah applies to it, that can only work according to Rabbi Yeshua, only if we say that the difference was in mitzvah rather than milah.